Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the First and 10 podcast, brought to you by Blogging the Boys, powered by SB Nation. It is Tony Catalina alongside my guy, Aiden Davis. Aiden, this is not like our typical free agency conversation we have as Dallas Cowboys. We're participants, all right? We're not sitting on the sideline anymore, and we'll get into that plenty. But how are you doing this week, man? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. The team I'm rooting for, I actually get to read headlines when I get to see a Bleacher Report article pop up about the moves we're making. And it's not just Cowboys have re-signed this person or they're quote unquote interested in this person, like actual moves. This is the first, might be the first time in my life that I've seen it. So I'm like, yeah. I've had a great week.
It's been exciting. And on top of that, because it's March and we would be remiss not to at least bring it up, your Longhorns are still fighting hard. I mean, they're in Sweet 16 now. They're, as we record, they haven't been bounced out yet. So that's another good feeling for you this week.
Sweet 16 for the first time since 2008. And I'm a Texas Longhorn football guy at heart. Like, that's the main sport that I root for. But now that we're actually doing well in basketball for the first time in forever, I'm officially nervous about, I think we're playing Xavier next. So looking forward to the Longhorns.
In your undergrad, how many basketball games did you go to?
Ooh, it's tough because, so we got a new arena the year after I graduated. So this past season, they were playing in a new arena. And before, the arena was a complete dump. And it was a place that was like, it took 45 minutes to get to. Probably went to like one a year. I'd say probably like four total games in my undergrad.
And since we talk,
are you
all the time.
Basketball guy?
You know what? I'm such, it's funny, I'm so casual about all sports except for football. Well, I would say I'm a big Red Sox fan, right? So I'm a big Red Sox guy, but that's like a fraction of how much of a Cowboys fan I am. So the Cowboys stuff, like, it will mess my weeks up. It will mess my meals up. Like, I won't be in the right state of mind until like Thursday when the Cowboys lose. Maybe it's the nature of the beast because of the sport, but like baseball, I can shake it off. Maybe because there's 162 of them, but I answer that to say basketball is, it's whatever, you know, I'm betting on it now. So that's fun. It gives it more meaning. But like I said before, I'm not too interested in, unless it's a 16 knocking out a one seed like we saw this weekend. That's fun stuff. But other than that, I'm not too moved by it.
Yeah, it's not it wasn't necessarily fun stuff for the Davis household because my sister goes to Purdue. And so,
oh man,
you can imagine the meltdown that happened when she thought Purdue was a national title contender and they get bounced by the 16th seed.
I'll tell you what, and maybe this is, and RJ called me out for it because I did hit a 3-team parlay after saying the last week that I was no good, that I couldn't hit. Hopefully y'all are happy to know I haven't done anything since. Like, I've been taking a beating, but I did say that I think I was going to pick the Longhorns to win it all. So, you know, the fact they're in the Sweet 16 is, I feel pretty good about that. I don't know if many people were picking them, but I thought about picking Texas.
I'm enjoying it so far. It's,
yeah. It's fun. It's a good time to be in Texas right now.
Yep. Yeah. But until the Texas Rangers season starts, then I guess if you're an Astros fan, congratulations. You picked the right team in Texas.
Yeah. And before I was just burning about that because I was just thinking about it. Have you watched any of the World Baseball Classic at all?
A little bit. I've tried to catch it where I can. It definitely seems like this is a, it's so cool to see how, like, the participation, the viewership in other countries, and then you just get to the U.S. and it seems like we can't buy people to tune into it. I don't know. I've watched a little bit of it.
I, you know, I tuned, I tuned into the Venezuela. I mean, we're recording this on Sunday, so I tuned into Venezuela versus the U.S. on Saturday night. That was electric. I mean, I saw when Trey Turner hit the Grand Slam. Like, that was some good television. That was fun. There's always some more juice to it when it's like nations involved in it, and you know, countries versus country. Everybody can rally together. I think it's fun. I think the World Baseball Classic has a chance to grow if they, like, you know, put things together, and hopefully guys aren't getting hurt like they have been in such weird, fluky ways like we've seen. But, you know, it only happens, what, like once 4 or 6 years, like, you know, Olympics do. So it's a small problem. It's a small risk. And, you know, I think some of the best players, and you said, you just mentioned it, these players like really enjoy it. Like, there's some real intensity to it. So I think it's fun. I think I'm enjoying it. But that was a distraction for us to normally have. Now, with the Cowboys doing so much stuff, like, we actually have things to talk about. And as we record this, we're only about an hour or two after the Cowboys traded for Brandon Cooks. They traded a 2023 fifth round pick and a 2024 sixth round pick for Brandon Cooks, with the Houston Texans eating $6 million of his $18 million contract, which gives the Cowboys Brandon Cooks on the books for $12 million, solidified their wide receiver too. How do you feel about it, Aiden? What is your first initial thoughts about this? Because I think this is a home run signing. Home run, you know, trade, really.
It's a home run trade. The one thing else, I think two things can be true at the same time. Number one is, to get Brandon Cooks for a fifth and a sixth round pick is unbelievable value for the Cowboys. I mean, you're talking about a receiver who has hit 1,000 yards in every season where he's played all 16 games. I mean, I believe, yeah, that's the case. And now granted, in 2014, he played 14 and only hit 600. So he probably wasn't going to do it in that year. But to get a receiver like that for a fifth and a sixth round pick. And we're not talking about a guy who's even that old. I get that he's changed teams a lot, but he's still 29. So we're still talking about a pretty youthful receiver. This is an incredible trade for the Cowboys. That's one thing that can be true. But I'm still on, like, I see the argument of, yeah, having a player like Hopkins, having a player like Mike Evans, he probably would help you out a little bit more, just because he's going, that can be that. The players, receivers like that are difference-making wide receiver ones. Brandon Cooks is, at this point, is a wide receiver two, a very, very solid wide receiver two, and he's going to compete for Gallup to be the wide receiver two. I even expect him to win that wide receiver two competition. But, I mean, so I think both things can be true. You can be a little bit disappointed that they didn't sign, like, or that they didn't trade for one of those big-name bona fide wide receiver ones, while also acknowledging this is an incredible trade that is going to help the Cowboys out in 2023.
Yeah. So my initial thoughts on the Brandon Cook signing is one of this, right? This is what we've asked the Cowboys to do, but this is about as much the Cowboys were going to extend themselves. They were going to never, in my mind, as much as I wanted them to sign a DeAndre Hopkins or make another trade with a high value pick or big money, that's just not who this front office is. So you're sitting here and telling me you got a 29-year-old wide receiver who, like you mentioned, with the 1,000, you know, what has he had? Only 1 year or 2 years where he didn't have 1,000 yards in a season.
After his rookie year, he's only had 2 years where he didn't hit 1,000.
Right. So for me, this is a home run signing in the sense that you got a field stretcher and you got a guy who can run routes crisply. He's exactly what this team needed as far as speed goes. Brandon Cooks in the fold is such a good move for the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott, with this offense. I got to give the flowers to the front office for finally doing something. And you know, to others, it may look like a medium side move like we've talked about before. It's not a splash in the sense that you're giving up like an arm and a leg to do it. You're giving up a fifth round pick. You're giving up a sixth round pick next year. The Cowboys have found a way to get creative and compensation, but also it's extremely making the team better. And now I know you said there's a conversation between the Michael Gallup and the Brandon Cooks. I think it's Brandon Cooks is too, and I think it'll be an easy win for him in that situation. And but you feel really good about it. This is the type of move that, like, we were hammering for last year. I wonder what last year would look like if they had made this move, but moving forward in 2023, as long as he's healthy, you love it.
Yeah. And to me, I don't know if we've seen full potential of what Brandon Cooks can really do. I mean, we haven't seen him play with a quarterback like Dak Prescott. since, I mean, you can say, yes, he played in 2017. He played with the Patriots in New England, which, yeah, he's playing with Tom Brady. Obviously, Tom Brady is, and especially in 2017, was a better quarterback than Dak Prescott. But in 2017, the way that the New England Patriots offense runs, they don't run through one receiver. They run through multiple wide receivers that, I mean, it's Julian Edelman, it's Gronk getting involved, it's a lot of swing passes to the running back. The last time where Brandon Cooks has been the bona fide wide receiver one playing with a competent quarterback was in 2016 with Drew Brees on the Saints. And so there's a very solid chance that we haven't, like, what we've seen from Brandon Cooks out of the last 5 years, especially where he's getting thrown passes from Jared Goff and Davis Mills, he could look exponentially better than what we're seeing. And so to me, outstanding signing, especially after years of the Cowboys sitting on their hands and doing nothing. To me, this is just such a drastic change that I'm going to be happy. No, I'm not going to complain about this at all.
Yeah, I think it's I think it is a great move with this. And then we can kind of talk about a little bit with the Stephon Gilmore, which is another move we didn't really get to talk about, didn't really get to see all that much because we record on Sundays. And this happened after that. Another big move, the Cowboys trade a fifth round pick for Stephon Gilmore, bring him into the fold. I think this is another one of those moves that we feel really good about as Cowboys fans. I think, you bring somebody in who is going to be a bona fide cornerback number two to put on the other side of Trayvon Diggs. You feel really good about that. This is just uncharted territory for us as Cowboys fans, right? Like, this is something that we've been clamoring for them to do. Now you feel really good about the depth at cornerback. At least I do, right? With Trayvon Diggs, you got Stephon Gilmore, Deron Bland could be that inside guy. Jordan Lewis is in the fold with his contract. And then you kind of just duke it out and see what the Nashawn Wrights and the Kelvin Joseph is going to do. But the wild card that we saw in the playoffs was Israel Mukwamu, right? Yeah. So he's in the fold now as somebody that can really help you. And it doesn't, in none of these moves, whether it's Gilmore or Brandon Cooks, stops you from drafting the best player available, right? You could take a cornerback or a wide receiver and it would be totally justified. So as I sit here, it's a rare conversation to be able to sit here and actually have some positive things to say about the front office and truly mean it. Like, the front office did a good job and we got to applaud them for it.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are a better team heading into 2023 than they were in 2022, and they were a 12-win team in 2020. This is exciting. This is the Cowboys addressed the biggest needs they had. They clearly, Dak Prescott needed additional support. Check. Brandon Cooks for a fifth and a sixth round pick. Pro Bowler, Brandon Cooks for a fifth and a sixth round pick. Oh, the secondary looked a little shaky over the back half of the year because guys like Jordan Lewis, Anthony Brown went down to injury. Well, let's just add another Pro Bowl cornerback. I get it. Neither of these players are going to make the Pro Bowl in 2023, likely. I mean, probably. We're not going to see Stephon Gilmore or Brandon Cooks emerge as a Pro Bowl player. But you're adding very solid support to two areas of the ball that needed it, the two most common areas that people were mocking to the Cowboys. And so now you're right. The Cowboys have incredible flexibility in the draft. And to hit on Stephon Gilmore, I think Stephon Gilmore is a very similar player to Bobby Wagner in that when we talked about Bobby Wagner a few weeks ago, I said that he was a player that was doing very well for his age. He was contributing in a big way. The only issue is he was playing on a team that nobody really cared about, so he wasn't getting that attention. To me, all of those same things apply to Stephon Gilmore. He had a very impressive season, especially for his age. But the issue was he was playing on the Colts, and nobody really cared about the Colts because they were a very difficult team to watch. And so this is, to me, another incredible move. The Cowboys have been knocking it out of the park for the first time in free agency since I've been alive. I don't know when the last time is. My question for you is, say we have equally good players at every position. I know that's never going to happen, but just to gauge your sense of where you want the Cowboys to go in the draft now, A-plus players available at every position. Where are you going if you're on the clock at 26?
I mean, it's a tough question to answer because, like you said, if all things are equal, I don't think there is a wrong answer, right? I think now more so than ever in my mind puts that offensive guard position more to the forefront, right? If you think that you don't want to move Tyler Smith from left tackle and maybe Tyron Smith, you know, and this is crazy to think about in my mind because of his pedigree and who he is he, if he's your swing tackle now, you need to find a guard to play at left guard. I don't know if Matt Farniak is the answer there. I don't know if that's where I would go personally, but now guard becomes a real situation. Are you talking about Osiris Torrance from, you know, from Florida? Or are you talking about the guy out of TCU? His name is kind of,
Steve
Avila or something, whatever the case. Yeah. We're in the same place, but yeah, you know, whether it's guard, but also at the same time, if you know, a CeeDee Lamb situation happens where you don't think one of these wide receivers are going to be there, falls to you, you can still feel good about that. I mean, the guy that I've always wanted, he's not going to get to us, but you know, my very first mock was Joey Porter. Joey Porter's not going to get down there, but if because you get Stephon Gilmore, I don't think you're ever going to not take Joey Porter if he's sitting there at 26. So it's a great question, you know, kind of stump me with it, who I want. But because of this and why my answer is so, you know, befuddled, I guess, is because of how well they did to put us in this position.
Crazy hypothetical scenario. We've heard some rumblings that teams are starting to not lose interest, but one player slipping down people's draft boards. Quentin Johnson falls to you at 26. You taking him?
I am. I would. Yeah, I think I would too. This is an offense or an NFL that is based on an offense where the more weapons you got, the more bullets in the gun you have, like go out there shooting, right? So 50 burger, yep. Team 50 burger. So I think it's, you can never have enough weapons, but you know, also sitting there, I don't know if he'll make it to us either, but Nolan Smith is somebody that I've talked about. I don't know if he would have been the pick there, but if you feel comfortable with what you've done with the other places and other positions, you go and get you a freaky defensive end to go pair up with Micah Parsons and Doris Armstrong and DeMarcus Lawrence. Like, you're never going to be a bad football team if you go out there and get a freak pass rusher too.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Completely agree. And I mean, we'll talk about this more as the draft season approaches, but one position that I think has been kind of ignored that I think the Cowboys could conceivably go with, if an athletic linebacker falls to them at, I mean, I know you mentioned Nolan Smith, he'll play mostly edge defensive end, right? Edge. Yeah. So if more of an athletic linebacker falls to you at 26, that could really help out your defense. If you get a guy that to pair with Leighton Vander Esch, who's obviously not as fast, he navigates the boundaries pretty well, but not really going to be that athletic freak of a linebacker. If a guy like that falls you at 26, I'd be fine with it.
We talking like a Derek Sanders too, or from Arkansas?
Is Derek Sanders projected to be a first rounder
early? I think early on, okay. I think he fell off a little bit, but
yeah,
you know,
that's what,
you know, early on, but he's somebody that they were trying to say had, you know, the mold of Micah Parsons at some point. Right. So, yeah. I mean, if any team is going to draft on traits, it's going to be the Cowboys, right? If they see a mold they like in the room already, they could go that way. I'm not advocating for an off the ball linebacker in the first round. We don't need to do that personally, but this is the beauty of it. They put themselves in a situation where they can do anything and we'd feel good about it.
Yep. I'm fine with you're right. Safety, defensive tackle, off-ball linebacker, like everything is on the table for the Cowboys during the draft. And that is because they have knocked out of the park in free agency.
So speaking of free agency, because we just talked about that, does this move to you signal a changing of the guard in philosophy and how they handle free agency? Or do you think this is more of the same, just with a little bit more out on a limb? Because, you know, part of me wants to say, while I let you think about it, is part of me wants to say, like, okay, this is them learning from their mistakes. But also a part of me is saying, like, I think they've always had this in them. Just the names and the players are better, right? They're just, they're making a little bit more risque moves, I guess, or more bigger splash moves, but the principles of who they are is still the same. They're just doing it with bigger names.
This is going to be a cop-out answer, and I'll try and get to form a more conclusive answer in a little bit, but it's, I think we're going to need to wait until 2024 to know, because here's the thing. What we heard from at the end of 2020, at the end of last season, guys like Micah Parsons, guys like Trayvon Diggs, even Dak Prescott a little bit, they're being very vocal about, like, can we get some talent, more talent in the building? Can we finally spend on free agency? And I think Micah Parsons was the most vocal about this, especially when the Jalen Ramsey trade happened, and Micah clearly was not happy that the Cowboys weren't able to acquire a guy like Jalen Ramsey for what it cost. But so I think Jerry and Steven, their backs were almost up against the wall, where if they went another offseason without doing anything, I think the Cowboys fans and B, even players in the Cowboys locker room, I think it would have just gotten too difficult for them. Like, they needed to do something, or else there would have been an uprising at that point after years and years of sitting on their hands. So they did it this year. I mean, granted, it wasn't like they, like we talked about earlier, it wasn't a guy like Hopkins, it wasn't Evans, it wasn't trading for Jalen Ramsey. They still haven't signed Bobby Wagner, although apparently they might still be interested in him. So it wasn't anything splashy like that, but it's still big names that you're bringing on to the team, and you're giving up draft capital to do it instead of just taking a risk at the back end of free agency. And so I don't know. I think we're going to have to wait until 2023 or 2024, the 2024 offseason, to know. But I lean towards no. I just think the noises were getting too big for this Joneses to ignore.
Yeah, I think we had talked about all season. We saw the moves. I mean, at least personally, and I know you can vouch for it because I've said it here, I just felt like they maybe thought this team, or didn't know this team, was as good as they actually were, right? So then they found themselves scrambling for a T.Y. Hilton or some other guys to try to come in and fill the gaps on a team that they maybe thought, like, maybe at the beginning, like, oh man, I don't know if we're as good as we think we are. We'll compete. Like, we'll, you know, probably be a playoff team. But it ended up being more than that. This defense ended up being a lot better than that. Cooper Rush kept the train on the tracks. And I think 2022 caught them by surprise in the sense that, like, okay, we have a real chance to do something here. They were in on Jerry Jeudy. They were in on Brandon Cooks last year. We talked about OBJ. Like, this is them kind of not even veering off from the plan. They've kind of told us that they were looking to do something like this for almost a year now. So you feel pretty good about this. You know, to answer the question we have for the segment in totality, I think that there is a philosophical, you know, philosophical change, so to speak. I think that it's going to always be tempered compared to the other teams that we had talked about on a prior show. You know, teams like the Jaguars go crazy, or the Chicago Bears, you know, spending a ton of money. The Cowboys will never be that. Cowboys will never operate that way. And that's fine if they're going to make moves like this. Like, these are two moves that we feel really good about. It. We're excited about it. It's like dopamine for us. Like, we just got to charge up from this. So it's if you're a Cowboys fan, you feel pretty good about this. And the sickness about that is everyone's like, what's next? You know, what are we going to do next? How are we going to improve it? But, you know, from the high of adding somebody, I kind of wanted to veer off to like the low of losing someone. And that is, we didn't really get a chance to give our thoughts too much on the Zeke Elliott situation. And before I ask you your initial thoughts on the Zeke situation, I wanted to talk about the reaction from Dak Prescott. Did you happen to see that? I wanted to talk about that because to me, it was pretty telling, right? Just seeing a guy that lost his best friend.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, if I'm reading too much into it, but it just read in his face of a guy that's like, this was not like he didn't already know, but this was the first like real moment of like, this is business. This is like, I don't care about the personal side of this. They just let go of my best friend. They just let go. But now, like he mentioned, like, no more excuses. The time is now. Like, this is it. If you're gonna cut people I thoroughly enjoy working with, this better work out. And I think that was one of the first things that I kind of took from that conversation from him.
Yeah, I think that there's two aspects to this Ezekiel Elliott move. A, there's the football aspect of it, and we'll get into it later. It's the right move, 100%. The Cowboys needed to move on from Ezekiel Elliott at this point. But there is the personal aspect. There's a player that has been, since 2016, been the face of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, him and Dak Prescott have, those two have been the face of the Dallas Cowboys franchise for the last six, seven years. I mean, it's the second they came in, it was just like this dynamic duo of rookie picks that the Cowboys have just taken. And so you saw it on Hard Knocks. You've seen it in post-game interviews. You've seen it with the Salvation Army kettle. Dak and Zeke are just genuinely like best friends in real life. Like, one of the funniest moments from that Hard Knocks season was when Ezekiel Elliott was trying to wrap a present for Dak Prescott. I mean, or was it the opposite way around?
No, it was Zeke
trying to wrap a present for Dak. I understand Dak being hurt. And like, I think all of Cowboys Nation is kind of going through this where we're like, dang, it's a player that we've rooted for six, 7 years. And although, yeah, clearly it's the right move and clearly a business decision, we can still be bummed about losing the player, losing the personality, losing the Ezekiel Elliott, who was a star from the moment he popped on the scene. But at the same time, if these Dallas Cowboys players who are talking about like making the eyeball emoji saying, oh, we need to get this player, let's go after this player, oh, we need to be aggressive here. If you guys want the Cowboys to be aggressive, you want the Cowboys to win, you want the team to be put in the best possible position to win, you have to realize this is the right move.
Yeah, on a football side of things, this is definitely the right move. You know, I'm an Ezekiel Elliott guy. First and 10 podcast for history over the year that we've been doing this. We've been pro Zeke. At least 2/3 of us have been pro Zeke, you know, in this situation. But understanding when a move has to be made, I understand that on the football side of things. But, you know, and so as far as I'm concerned, the Cowboys did what they had to do. That's totally fine. Yep. In my sense, the move had to be made. It sounds like they tried to make it work with the financials to try to keep him around. It didn't work for both sides. So Ezekiel isn't here anymore. But what I'm nervous, or not nervous, but more like paying attention to now, is the Dak Prescott's demeanor about the whole thing, right? Like, this is a guy who, you know, he's always been on the ball. He's been on point. He handles everything so well in the public eye. And, you know, it just, to see the visible like displeasure, yeah, right, which was tough. I don't think it may mean absolutely nothing because he's a consummate pro, he's a professional, and he's gonna go out there and do his thing and be totally fine. But just that little pause of like, this stung. Like, you know, he's lost friends before. Like, there's guys on the team that are no longer here that he's friends with. But this one was kind of just like, all right, you're going to make me lose my guy. Like, we better do something here. And like, this better be worth it, because, you know, sometimes you forget like, oh man, they play a game for millions, and that's just, you should be good with it. But there's real human emotion. It's like having a coworker that you've become best friends with, and he, you know, and you lose him. He's not going to be there anymore. It's going to be a change, right? He even mentioned it's going to be different about, you know, being on the field without him. So maybe I'm putting too much thought into it, but ultimately that's kind of what I took from it, because the move itself doesn't need to be talked about too much because it was the right move. I just was looking at the leader of this ball club, number four, and how he handled it is kind of what my mind went to initially.
Yeah, and one of the most depressing things I've seen this week was when Dak Prescott posted the 214 picture with just the hat. Like, that was, it's heartbreaking. I mean, Dak, I've never seen outside of, like, it doesn't really happen in the NFL where you just have two players that are just like, they mesh so well. Like, it's actually kind of common in the NBA. Like, there's examples of Russell Westbrook, and I don't remember the player he used to do that dances with before pregame every game.
But
like,
that?
I know Boban and like Tobias Harris were friends. Anyway, there's just like in other sports, you kind of get that closeness, and it happens in the NFL, but like a bond like this, it really doesn't happen all that often. So you're right. It is going to take Dak Prescott realizing, okay, this is it. At the end of the day, this is business, and it's going to take me over. Like, I mean, it's tough. It's going to be tough to go through this and lose your best friend, but I mean, we are talking about the Cowboys. It's going to have to happen.
life goes on, right? You know, life goes on, you move forward. It's just interesting. I don't think it'll ever be a story or anything that's really serious, but just something that I picked up on. You know, we see so much Cowboys content. We pay attention to it so much that you pick up on the little intricacies or what it, or whatever. Like, you see like the little ways they handle it. So interesting to see that. But, you know, that's a part of the free agency as a whole, right? You know, you lose players, you gain players. And let's take a reset. As we record this, it's Sunday. It's about to be, you know, what, the first full week taken care of now? We're down, was it? It's been one full week of free agency.
Yep.
So let's give a regrade. Let's look at how free agency looks with the Stephon Gilmore, the Brandon Cooks, the Leighton Van Der Esch, the Donovan Wilson, the Tony Pollard. There's just so many moves that the Cowboys have done. The Zeke Elliott departure. Where do you on the letter grade? Where do you grade them so far with their free agency moves?
I'm going to give them two grades. I'm going to give them a grade for what I expected versus what they produced. And then I'm going to give them a grade relative to the rest of the NFL, which is, I don't really know how we grade the Cowboys at this point, because how they've done based off what we expected, I'd give them an A. If they had signed like a Hopkins, if it's, or traded for Hopkins, if they traded for an Evans, that'd be an A plus. But Brandon Cooks is just so, like, he's such a close receiver to that, that I'm willing to give them, just slightly bump them down. I'm giving them an A. I mean, we talked about this last week, and we said that this week was going to be very telling. I'm not going to lie. When I said this next week is going to be very telling, I expected a couple re-signings, maybe trading for a lower name receiver, like a name that, like a, not, I don't know, like a name that would be competing for a roster spot in free agency, not a name that any of us are getting excited about. But the fact that they were able to pull off two trades in the span of a week, and trades that we really haven't ever seen the Cowboys, like, we don't see the Cowboys make all that often. I mean, compared to what we expected, it's definitely far out. Even the most optimistic fans, it has to have exceeded your expectations. So I'm giving them an A. Relative to the rest of the NFL, I'm going to give them a B minus. It's been good. They've been able to add two solid weapons. But at the end of the day, I think when you're looking at Gilmore and when you're looking at Cooks, I don't know if these are guys that, it's like, they're going to make the Cowboys move from plus 1600 in the Super Bowl odds to like plus 800. Like, it's not huge moves. Still, you don't have a lot of flexibility when you're a team like the Cowboys, when you don't have a lot of cap space. So, yeah, I'll give them a B minus. Good. Yeah. Not smashing records.
Yeah, it's not insignificant, like you're saying, with a B minus. I think I'm a little bit more optimistic in the sense that I think I gave him a B, right? I think the Donovan Wilson move was a good move, even though, you know, I've been on the train where, you know, I was definitely wrong on Donovan Wilson. You know what I mean? I think way back, I wasn't his biggest fan. Not that he did anything wrong. I just, you know, took a leap and I was wrong there. But Donovan Wilson, the Leighton Van Der Esch signing, and with a really good deal. I mean, I think we feel really good about some of these deals and the way they're able to structure them. I think not only adding Brandon Cooks, but able for the Houston Texans to eat a third of that payment for this year is a big deal.
Yep.
Have him under contract for 2 years. Stephon Gilmore, I think, is an immediate, and I was an Anthony Brown fan, but I think Stephon Gilmore was an immediate upgrade over him. And so, you know, for me, I think it's a B, and I say it's a B because the job's not finished. I think there's other ways to attack this roster. I still think they need to bring Jonathan Hankins back. I think they need that guy in the middle there. I think that'll help. And I was interested. I thought we had talked about it, that we thought if Leighton Van Der Esch was signed, then that meant the Bobby Wagner thing was over. But we're hearing rumblings. It's not over. So that's a very interesting move to really shift and change your linebacker room, like, in a big way. I almost wonder how they would handle, like, Micah Parsons. Would there ever be a need for him to even line up as a linebacker at that point, right? If you got Bobby Wagner, if you got Damone Clark with Leighton Van Der Esch, those are your guys. You know, you hope Jabril Cox can give you something. So there's a lot to sort out between now and July and even into August and September. But I give it a B because the job has been a job well done, but the job's not finished. So I feel pretty good about what they've done. I need to see a little bit more. And that's just me maybe being a little greedy because this is more than we've seen in years past. But I'll give them their flowers. You know, it's a passing grade. It's a passing grade. And you said it before, mention it, how it's compared to the rest of the league. It may not be as crazy aggressive, but this is the Cowboys and we feel good about what they've done.
Quick question for you, and a name that's kind of been ignored throughout this free agency cycle. Now that we've signed Gilmore, I think the Cowboys can sign Anthony Brown on a very, like, sign him to a 3-year contract, knowing that he's likely not going to get to play much of that first year, but you don't need him to play that first year now because of Gilmore. Would you be down for something like that?
You know, I would be down to keep Anthony Brown in the fold, but, like, is that, are you, like, how are you handling Jordan Lewis? Are you keeping him around?
Yeah, I mean, I think this year what I'm going to do is I'd let Lewis and probably somebody like we talked about earlier, Mukwamu maybe, work the slot and just let them rotate. Like, Lewis is now going to become a rotational corner with Gilmore and Diggs being the permanent outside guys. Bland, I completely forgot about Deron. Yeah. Bland.
I'm like, Deron Bland is going to be the guy with Jordan Lewis. Like, that's the thing. Like, if Israel Mukwamu is that cornerback that's going to be in the nickel and he's going to be the mismatch, do you need a Jordan Lewis? I mean, he's a veteran presence. He's a tough guy, and, you know, he brings value in that sense. But do you need the money more? Because it seems like there's some young talent. Even if you go draft one, right? If you draft a cornerback with a top 100 pick, do you need Jordan Lewis? Do you need Kelvin Joseph? I think maybe you might need Kelvin Joseph special teams wise now because they brought C.J. Goodwin back, but they lost Luke Gifford and some other guys. You know, Malik, who is it? Rico Dowell's not going to come back. Yep. It's, you know, so there's different guys that you're losing on the special team side. There's definitely some back end roster churning that we're going to have to figure out here.
Yeah, our cornerback rotation, I'm so comfortable with our cornerback rotation.
It's not bad.
It's making me happy. Yeah.
Yeah, not
bad. That's amazing. I completely forgot about, I don't know why, but I completely forgot about Deron Bland. And that just, man, that just made my day. Also, Tennessee, come on. You couldn't let us have Luke Gifford. He was supposed to be a lifelong Cowboy. Why did you offer him that much money? Congrats to Luke Gifford, though.
I'm definitely on an island about this. If we're talking about some of the things that come on about, I kind of wanted Connor McGovern. Because Connor McGovern would have just solidified the guard spot. Like, for me, like, if I know there's a little bit more money, he got his money in Buffalo, and, you know, congrats to him getting paid. But if we could have gotten the ballpark, I would have been okay with solidifying. Now, if you could have done better, I'm totally down for that. And you still probably can do better. But also, the way they fill in holes, I think Connor McGovern could have naturally filled that hole. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think that if right now the biggest need for the Cowboys is offensive line, would you agree? What would be your biggest need? Yeah.
I would say offensive line and interior defensive line. You know, that's why my first name I mentioned was Hankins. If we can get Hankins in the fold, then I'd feel really good about my idea. And, you know, nobody's asking me because I don't run a team, but I love to get best player available in the draft. So that means taking free agency to fill the holes that you can. So then when you get to the draft, you don't feel handcuffed by a position. Go out there and just take the best ball players that you have drafted or, you know, scouted, and let's go play football.
Yeah. And there's going to be, the Cowboys are going to sign minor players still. I'd like to see us sign a couple players that might not start on the offensive line, but at least are going to give some type of competition, and more specifically, or more importantly, some type of depth, which we definitely saw after last year. You need depth on the offensive line. And the fact that the Cowboys haven't done anything this offseason to address it, that's another reason that it's a B minus. Like, really, after what you saw in 2022, you don't want to do anything to touch the offensive line?
Forget the depth. They're signing starters, baby. Forget the depth. No, for once, they're signing the starters, and we're not hitting the depth. That's a complete 180 for what we're used to. So that's funny. I obviously say that tongue in cheek. But before we wrap up here on another episode of the First and 10 podcast, any final thoughts, Aiden? Anything else you have to get off your chest? And a lot could change from the next time we talk. You know, I mean, the way the Cowboys are moving, and maybe a couple more trades and a couple more signings. So who knows?
You mentioned it earlier, but the NFL is a passing league. I would not be disappointed if they still added another wide receiver. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Now you have flexibility with Brandon Cooks. I don't think Hopkins, Evans, OBJ, I believe that's all off the table. But sign some minor guys in free agency. Right now, I mean, we don't really have Dennis Houston, guys like that. Like, sure, let's see what Jalen Tolbert can do in year two. But let's get some bets in to compete with them, because I'm always in for adding more weapons for Dak.
Yeah. I mean, and we lost We lost Noah Brown to Houston. So I think, you know, one of those situations where we'll take Cooks. They can have Noah Brown. I think that's fair. But yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, I'm definitely invested. I'm interested. I think this has been a recharge for Cowboys Nation in the sense that a lot of the people that have been clamoring for a lot of these moves to be made, I think there's some justification and some gratification for the way things have been handled. So I'm excited to see what they do move forward. There've been times where they've earned our trust. I think this is one of those times where like, okay, Will, McClay, Steven, you guys are making some moves. I mean, we're going to kind of back up a little bit. The job's not finished. We got to go and win a Super Bowl, but I think we're all in agreement that this is a nice feeling to see what they're doing here. So, for that is it for today. Like I said, the First and 10 podcast, I appreciate everybody listening. Please leave a review, subscribe, do all that, please. It really helps us over here. So blogging the boys, SB Nation, First and 10 podcast, Tony Catalina, Aiden Davis. Aiden, have a good day, my man.
You too.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.